This is WHCC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our guest this morning is Dr. Tom Burns, and good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Joe.
Well, I guess we can talk about medicine this morning. And
well, there's a lot going on.
And yeah, there is.
And some of it is still good. Okay, so we
That's good to hear that.
That's right. Now, I have in front of me here a journal that comes out every month. It's called Medical Economics.
Yeah.
You see it here, and it's main title here on the front is Obamacare's Broken Promises.
Yeah.
Now, this is a journal that isn't about doctors. I mean, doctors don't run it. This is a economic journal. This is the business world talking about what they're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some real concerns, and we've talked about this before. But for all of us as listeners and as people involved should understand that the science of medicine will go forward. The science of medicine doesn't look at what Obamacare or any of the doctors
right.
do. The science of medicine are scientists, and scientists look for things that they don't understand and build new things. And I happened to have a research lab and taught while I was in med school, and so we didn't look at now what is going to happen with the doctor here. We were looking at science.
Right.
Some of those things come from other areas. For instance, the platinum anti-cancer drugs came out of the plant department at Michigan State, where they just happened to notice that the plants that they were trying to grow in a petri dish, some of them weren't growing and they weren't dividing, and they noticed that the electrodes in that little petri dish was made of platinum versus the other ones that were dividing. And it came over to the biochem department, and the biochem department then started the first little stuff on animals, and then it came to the clinical side, and today, that was 30-some years ago, and today we have platinum anti-cancer drugs because of that scientific just serendipity in that little plant lab in East Lansing. That's happening in all campuses all over the country and all over the world. And so we will have the science of medicine going forward. The problem is, how does the business world utilize science to make it beneficial economic for us? Now, there's plenty of debate we could all get into as far as the real thing is who's telling the truth, and it seems like nobody is, you know, when we look at it. But certainly this is a real problem. I have a young couple that I've seen for some time that now are going to they're going to have to pay about $6,000 or $8,000 a year for their premiums and have a $6,000 deductible. Healthy young couple will not even use the $6,000. They will be paying $8,000 to $10,000 and getting nothing for it. And other individuals that don't work will be gaining all the benefit from it. So there's going to be a debate and there's going to be some changes. But the big thing is that there's a lot going on right now to try to stimulate people to get involved. But all this money and all these promises that are being made now have a limit. At the end of their only, for instance, the benefits and some of the premiums that they're trying to entice the doctors to get involved in Medicare, for instance, or Medicaid, is only the money's there for a year, and once everybody's into it, then the money might not be there. So for the doctor practicing, your doctor, for all the listeners, your doctor is struggling now with a lot of things. One of the things, as I've mentioned before, is the ICD-10. This is how you get your office visit billed by your doctor, and they're going to go to 146,000 codes. That's all the different arrangements. Some of them have nothing to do with humans, have to do with animals. And your doctor's going to have to put all kind of data like your how much medicine you get, whether you take it, you don't take it. And so he's becoming a statistician now. And I know that when you go into your doctor, when I go and see my doctor, I like to look at him. I like to talk to him. I like to tell him what's going on. And I like to have his opinion. And I like to have him kind of clarify that to me, and I leave the office. That's what all my patients desire, and I try have developed the habit of making sure they have a detailed list of the things that office visit was about. The future doctors are going to have a very hard time doing that, but they're young individuals that they haven't been programmed the way we were before, and so they look at it different. But every individual, medicine is evolving you. And you got to think about it, and don't just take somebody's word of it. And don't be, we should, none of us be happy for just about today. Where are we going down the road? Science of medicine will get better. Technology will get better. We'll have so many things to do, but that we will never have a computer or a computer screen that you can talk to that can sense who you are, what you are,
right,
and how you feel. And that's today we're finding more and more stress. Just think today of this level of emotional disarray. In the last 40 years, if you went 40 years ago, you would never think of an individual being so distraught to run into a school and injure, shoot, or kill somebody they didn't even know.
Right.
So we are struggling as a society emotionally. And the business world is worried about it. And that this journal I just showed you, there's a lot of things about this healthcare that's going to put a lot of people on the outside of where they were. Even though the president says he's got 7 million, remember, the reason this was so important, there was 40 million that didn't have insurance, supposedly. They got 7 million, and some of those 7 million are people that had insurance and now lost it. So if you look at the numbers, it's not encouraging. But we should be encouraged that we have a country that knows how to deal with it if we put the right people in the
right
places. And so every individual out there should be concerned about where health is going, where the whole medical profession is going as far as providing care and personal time with them, and should really get involved in looking at what you want, get involved in discussing this with your friends, your family, and stay on top of where health's going, because for the young person today, it's your life, it's your children's life, it's your grandchildren's life.
Right.
I'm at that part of life, you and I, that you know, we probably won't see 2050, okay?
Likely not.
You and I might not even see 2020 for 2025. So just for all of you, thank God you're in America. Thank God we have a free speech. And B, get involved in healthcare. Get involved in your country.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Hi. I just wanted to comment a little bit on what he was saying about only 7 million. I mean, that CBO estimates 22 million by 2016, I believe. I mean, this is just the beginning of a social program, you know, that this country needed badly, I believe. And seeing premiums starting to go down the first time in 50 years is a good sign also. We just all have to remember this is the very beginning of something, and we just all need patience with it. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That's a very good comment, and I'll respond to a couple of things. You know, on the surface, you're getting a lot of data, but I'll give you some specifics. Last night, I went to a certain pharmacy in town to get some medicine that I've been taking for 30 years. It's just a medicine. I had surgery 30 years ago, 35 years ago, and I have a GI problem where sometimes, like, people get irritable bowel, and I've had this medicine to use. I don't use it every day, but one month ago, I bought 100 of these pills for $10. That was cash.
Mm-hmm.
I went last night to get it. For 90 pills to now, I asked what it would cost me cash, $440.
Wow.
From $10 to $440 for a medicine that was a generic for 30 years. That's just one. We can go to doxycycline. We can go. All those generics that we were getting for peanuts before are going to be $1, $2, or $3 a pill now.
Wow.
That's what's happening in the real world in your bank. What he says is fine if it was going that direction. But there's way more problems in delivering a government-directed thing when there's no competition. And I've said this before, the greatest thing, in fact, I filled out a survey last week and sent it in, they asked me to, and one of the comments I made, one of the great things to bring this together is to allow legally for the payers. And the payers of all medicine in this country are the employers and the employees or the citizens. It's not the government. They take the money. It's not the insurance company. But the insurance companies made sure that the employers couldn't do it when they got the HMO Act. And because they knew that that was all the money was going to come from the employer. Every employer in this country works on how do you get quality and efficiency and cost containment. Because all these big companies, you got companies here like Gentex and Herman Miller, if they functioned like Obamacare or our own government, they would be bankrupt. And so they have to use wisdom on quality, efficiency, and cost containment. Medicine isn't going anywhere near that. The cost is going to go sky high, and the young couples are going to pay a ton for medicine to pay for people that don't work and for old people like you and I when we can't work. And that's a penalty to them that is a sad thing as far as most doctors feel.
All right, time out for this word. We'll be right back with the doctor.
Today, call 820-7662 for more information. The Inn at Freedom Village, 145 Columbia Avenue in downtown Holland.
And we're here with Dr. Burns. If you have a question, you may call us at 395-1450. Our line is open for you. And we have a beautiful day going on out there with blue sky and sunshine. And that's something to be thankful for, despite what the government does.
Yeah. You know, in reference to some that topic that just the callers mentioned, in 1965, I was making artificial hearts and vascular grafts for Dr. DeBakey at Dow Corning. He was very concerned about the fact that now with bypass, that was the beginning of bypass, that we would have to do that on every male that had heart disease. Morally and ethically, we would have to do that, which is great. But he was worried because it would cost, he stated, I'll quote him, he says, that's going to be $15,000 for every bypass.
Wow.
That was 1965. Now you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars for that.
Yeah.
So the cost is going up, and that's okay if our salaries all went up that much, everybody's wages went up. The problem is wages go up, and you get more and more people not working. Everything's going to go up. And the individuals that really are working will not be able to fund it. And those that aren't working are going to get a lot of benefits from it. And it's not like Medicare, where we put money in for 30 years or 40 years working before we collected on it. I'm not Medicare and Social Security both. So it's going to be a process, but what is going to be the interim time? What's going to bridge us across there? And if you look at the country, competition in the private sector has always ended up, if handled right, to be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think the government needs to do, it's like, why are you and I spending so much for gas? Because all of the refineries are owned by the same people. There's no competition. I think our government needs to create competition there. I think it needs to create competition in medicine. And one of the ways of doing that, retract back the prohibition of employers themselves to build a program. In my experience, from the day I came here, I've been working with the local employers. At one time, we were trying to build a system in which the hospital, the employers, and the doctors would all own the system. It's now called Priority Health. If the government allowed that to happen, that kind of competition, employers are more concerned about their employees than the government is, and that's just the facts that we deal with. But business is business, and we don't always understand business when we're not business people. And I am not. I'm a farm boy. I have no idea about business.
Good morning. Online with the doctor.
Hello.
Yes. Yes.
How are you?
Go ahead.
What? How are you doing?
He's talking right now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes. I had. Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I had breast cancer this spring early, and I had a mastectomy, and I had to take I had to go off my hormones.
Uh-huh.
And I have to take a pill. It's
right.
Not in the fight. No, tamoxifen, because it has too many side effects. I didn't want to start with an E, I can't extreme or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead.
And then come to find out, it ate my bones, and I had osteoporosis.
Uh-huh.
And now the oncologist wants me to take Prolia. and I see that advertised on TV. I have an autoimmune disease, and it does can affect your immune system, and you get infections with it. And, I mean, they all have different things like that, you know. They all have real scary side effects. And I'm doing for, you take two shots a year.
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, when you take it, boy, you've had, you can't get rid of it. You can't suck the stuff out of you. Is that, would you be afraid to take that? Is that safe to take you? Do you think, is the ad on TV where the actress comes out and she says, they say, break a leg. And she says, I wish I could have got osteoporosis.
Okay. Let me kind of address that. First of all, you sound like you're over 50.
I'm 72.
72. See, your osteoporosis, that's the thing. What we are getting better at medicine, you and I, when we were young, nobody told us about how to eat healthy and the things to do so we
right.
don't get disease.
Right.
Today, we're 70 years old, and so we had many decades. You
couldn't even know their mind about the hormones.
Yes, I know.
It was good then, it wasn't good.
Well, the thing is that all of these, first of all, when you see something on TV, there's a good chance that it's on TV because it costs a lot of money and they're marketing it. There's a lot of things that you need to depend on your doctor, and there's always other doctors. That's the other thing. All of us today have the access to a second opinion. And you got everybody has a doctor that takes care of them, but all of us are not trained in everything. And so
right.
you need to talk to the doctors about those medicines. But all of the medicines that have ever been passed have been demonstrated to be, in most patients, safe and productive and beneficial. Every medicine ever made can have a reaction in some individuals.
I know. I can't take that.
And may not work in some people.
Right.
You're at 72 with osteoporosis. It's very difficult to build bone. The big thing about osteoporosis is try to keep you from not building bone. There's a big debate on individuals, you're in my age, that if we have osteoporosis, we get these dexagrams or DEXA scans every year of your bones. There's very little data that shows that we will have any change within 2 or 3 or even 5 years, even on the medicine.
I've already broke bones. I broke my ribs. I broke my humerus.
And so when you take these hormones, you got to talk to your doctor because some of them, all of them, in fact, can have some detrimental effect in some individuals, but they would not advise you to do it if it didn't have a potential of benefit for you.
I'm sorry. I don't think you understood me. The pill that I took that ate at my bones was one that grabbed the hormones that were in my body that was my body was making. Or I got like a milk from cows that were given hormones, and you grabbed those kind of hormones. Not that I was completely off my hormones.
Well, there's no question that if we get hormones from anything, whether it's animals that have been fed hormones,
uh-huh.
that it can interrupt our own. When you give when you take a hormone as a female or as a male, it can affect our own mechanism of creating that hormone. For example, if you take steroids, it's going to affect how your own pituitary feeds its information to the adrenal glands to give you your own cortisone and build your own cortisone. So you need to talk to your doctor about that. But we use those medicines for a reason in certain people that have certain disorders or certain problems
uh-huh.
for a reason, and that's because
uh-huh.
it does beneficial. But that's what the skill and the training of the medical profession is asked to do, is make those judgments for you.
Uh-huh.
And you just need to trust your doctor, and,
uh-huh.
and if you have questions, always go and get another opinion by a subspecialist, because there are plenty of intelligent doctors. And if you're in the Holland area, I came here in August, it'll be 36 years, and since I came here, it's tremendous. We had 4 beds in CCU, and next year we built 21 beds the next year. So, and now you got a whole wing, and they're building another whole wing. So medicine increases because the intelligence and the training of physicians continue and expand and get better. So
uh-huh.
take advantage of your doctors. Talk
uh-huh.
to them. Doctors are, like I said, are in a hurry because all the stuff is put on them to put in a
right.
computer. They used to be able to just write in a chart what they did, and they'd be able to explain it
right.
in court. Now they can't do that. So don't walk out without having your answers. If you have to
okay.
talk to the nurse and you say, I'm worried about this, they will go and get the doctor to come back. Or if they can't, then you just make an appointment for the next day or the next week and see them again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So thank you. Okay. My doctor's at University of Michigan. He's a professor there, neurology, and it's a very rare disease. I've got Stevens syndrome, and it's about 1/10,000 gets it like I do.
But just remember, like, I trained at Mayo, and a lot of people would come
I was
there.
At Mayo. I was at Mayo. They're the ones that diagnosed.
I'm just telling you that people come there because everybody, every doctor, every community can't have a specialist in your specialty or in your disease, and that's why they have University of Michigan kind of places. And what's happening in Grand Rapids is tremendous because with the Van Andel Institute and all those, there's tremendous things happening. So keep looking up. Be thankful we're in America, and be thankful we're in Western Michigan.
I really am.
There's no.
I got a good insurance.
Yeah, there's no place in the state, the country.
We got the medical mile in Grand Rapids.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Almost out. Bye-bye. God bless.
All right, got another call. Yes, you're online with the doctor.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello, you're online with the doctor.
Hello.
Yes, if anyone has the big, large varicose veins, not the spider veins, once they're removed, will you still have pain?
Well, you will for a while, because just think, when they remove them, it's just like you cutting into your finger or your arm, so it's got to heal.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is they get those, when they open those skin, you got some soreness there, but then they have to pull that vein out. So when they pull that vein out, you're going to have some bleeding, and that's going to take a while.
Okay.
And it may take a few weeks to go away completely. But remember, those big veins are on the surface. They're not the veins that are the most important, because you got other veins there. And what's important are the deep veins that deliver all the blood back to the heart. And the varicose veins on the surface, those are normally from individuals like women that have had multiple pregnancies, people that are overweight that are putting pressure on those veins that makes them expand. And so, they can take them out. You'll have some soreness, but talk to the doctor, because you can take some medicine to get that inflammation down faster and to get the pain resolved. And one of the doctors, when they do the surgery, will probably tell you that you should wear pressure stockings to make sure that those veins don't fill up, or those areas don't fill up with blood until they heal.
Can you have blood clots from them?
Yeah, but they don't go anyplace. They stay on the surface, because those veins are on the surface. They're not deep veins.
Okay, and what type of doctor would you go recommend for something like that?
A vascular surgeon. There's if you look in the telephone book and yellow pages, you can find that. But there are some vein clinics that are specifically Grand Rapids Vein Clinic, but there are doctors here in Holland that do that kind of work as well. They're vascular surgeons that do it.
Okay, well, thanks an awful lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yeah. Hey, doctor, could you speak a little bit about lymphedema? You know, I'm just interested in that, and maybe there's some people out there that may be mistaken with diabetes, but lymphedema is something different.
Yep. Lymphedema is just lymph. That's just fluid, and edema is swelling. When our heart pumps out blood into your legs, let's just take the lower legs. That's where we have it. We can have it any place, but that's where we usually notice it. When it pumps blood out to your legs and your feet, most of that, not the red cells, not the cells in the arteries, but all the fluid that carries the nutrients goes out through the capillaries into the tissue, into the cells, and then the byproducts, the urea and the nitrogens that it has to get cleaned, goes back into the vein, or into the vein at the other end of the capillaries, and delivered back through the veins. But some of that fluid doesn't all get back, because it's basically drawn back in by protein. So if your protein is a little low, you might leave some out in the tissue. Well, the body, whether you believe in God doing it, a creator, or Mother Nature, created another mechanism for us to get that other fluid back, and it goes back through our lymph gland, or our lymph vessels. And the lymph vessels are vessels that are just like an overflow. And so as the pressure of that fluid builds up, it goes back through the lymphatic system and delivers back into the veins at the pelvis, and is delivered back. It's the only way that, well, lymphedema occurs is because there becomes a blockage in those lymphatic vessels. And, for instance, it's one of the reasons why women sometimes gain fluid or lymphedema. This is fluid in the leg that's not in the veins or not in the arteries. And you can see pictures in the, you know, encyclopedias or on the internet of people in Africa that get parasites in their lymphatics, and they get this lymph or this elephantitis, it's called. Their legs look like they're real big, like an elephant. That's lymphedema, but that's, what's happened is their lymphatics have been blocked. So you and I can have that happen. One of the best ways to get rid of it, I mean, you can take a water pill. That doesn't always do it, but it takes pressure. So people that have lymphedema are advised to elevate their feet as much as possible. When they talk about elevating your feet, that means your feet should be higher than your knee. People that have tendency to have a lot of lymphedema, elevate the foot of your bed about 4 or 6 inches. Just put blocks or books under the legs and try that for a while. And then if you have regular lymphedema, getting pressure stockings, talk to your doctor. They can give you a prescription for that. But most lymphedema is because we're overloaded with fluid, or we have something happen medically that helps us to or makes us retain that fluid in our feet. Most of our lymphedema is because we sit and stand too long without giving our feet and our vessels and legs a chance to rest and get that back. So it's usually a benign thing that you don't need to worry about. We're almost out of time, so we're going to put the pressure on our time schedule here. So all of you, we appreciate you calling. We just thank you again for another we're starting another year now for all the years we've done this. And Juke and I, we don't look the same as we did there.
No, we don't, do we?
36 years ago, but we think the same, okay, which puts us old. So anyway, have a good one. God bless, and